Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We're live in Austin, Texas, and we have a great show tonight. This is John Massengill sitting in studio with Les Kaiser.
Howdy, y'all. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, man, we got a great show tonight. We have three different guests, and we don't have Jonathan in the booth, so we don't have to worry about fighting for the microphones.
No. Oh, no! Oh, mayhem!
Dang it! He still gets in.
Yeah, in fact, he might be listening because he's in the airport on the way to New Zealand for the Toyota Racing Series, where he's going to call the race out there as usual for the last, I don't know how many years he's been doing that, but a long time.
Yep.
But yeah, let me talk about who we have on the show. Very excited because we have three different guests. We're going to start off with a driver who used to race in Formula One, spent about 3 years in Formula One, and now is racing in the World Endurance Championship. Racing in the IMSA racing, and is going to be racing at Daytona in 2 weeks. And we have Felipe Nasr. And so he's going to join us here in about 10 minutes or so.
He's got a fantastic history.
All right. Oh, man.
And just a real nice guy. So, yeah, stay tuned for that guy.
Yeah, and then at about 7:30, we got Willie T. Ribbs coming back to the show because his movie
is out. Piece of Hollywood coming to the show tonight. This is cool. This is way cool.
Yeah, his movie, I watched it start to finish last night, and it was great, actually. I wasn't sure I was going to have time to watch the whole thing. And, you know, I started watching it, and I got sucked in and watched the entire thing, and it was a really good movie. And we'll talk about where you can watch that movie.
Well, it's Adam Carolla who put that together. So, you know, one of the things Adam is doing that I love is he's bringing the history of motorsports to the screen more so now. So I'm stoked for everything that Adam's doing.
Yep. And then our last guest of the evening, we got Mike Conway, who is in the World Endurance Championship and racing for the Toyota Gazoo team and factory driver. And Jonathan and I got to interview him yesterday, talking about them coming to Austin, the World Endurance Championship coming back to Austin.
Are they still really excited to come back now? Because I know a bunch, you know, talking to some of them that we saw here not racing, they were pretty bummed for not coming to COTA.
Oh, yeah. He said it. He was talking about Austin and the circuit, and he was talking, you know, one of the things he talks about is putting a lap together at COTA. And you know, as we all know, that's a big deal, putting laps together at COTA.
It is.
Getting them right.
Well, and it's every bit of the course requires it. I mean, especially the first couple of turns. You know, I remember you talking to Mario Andretti and him talking about if you don't get the first four turns right, you're messed up for the rest of the lap.
Yeah, everybody says that, right? You come out of the turn one and turn two, and then when you hit the S's, if you mess all that up, you've ruined your lap. You know, it just gets worse and worse and worse every turn you go, so...
That's a long lap to go through worse turns.
Yeah, it is. That's true. You got a long
3.4 miles. That's a lot of bad turns.
Yeah, you got a lot more to go after that. But yeah, so we got these three exciting guests. And yeah, I knew Felipe Nasr had been in Formula One, but I didn't realize how many points he'd scored in the, I think it was the 2016, let's see. No, it was 2015 season when he was racing for Sauber. You know, his first season was with Williams, and then he raced for Sauber for two seasons, and he scored 27 points.
He was kind of like he was up in the group around the best of the rest, if you listen to Gene Haas. You know, he was right there. Very definitely talented, and it's just something else that, you know, I hate to see what happened as Sauber kind of declined. He was kind of locked in there. And had to ride that, and it just didn't improve for him.
But he finished as high as fifth in Australia to open the season, and then he was in the points for six races, and he finished sixth, let's see, in Russia. He finished ninth here in Austin. He had some points here in Austin. So, yeah. But, yeah, he's coming to talk about racing for the Whelan Cadillac DPI team in at Daytona in 2 weeks. Man, I am getting so fired up about. I always set up my house for Daytona with multiple screens. You know, I get the big screen going, and then I'll set up at least one laptop with different views, and another one actually to just follow on social media. Because I watch a lot of it, and I listen to a lot of it, too.
Nerd alert!
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yes, I will not argue with the nerd alert. But, yeah, so we got Felipe Nasr coming up first. But you know what? I want to play a little clip because an iconic American car sold at auction at the Mecum auction this weekend. And I was – let's go ahead and play the clip first, then we'll go into that.
3-5, and it is a 3-5 hit.
Here it comes.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, sold part $3,400,000. Sold it $3,400,000.
For the first time in almost 46 years, the most legendary movie car of all time changes hands. $3.4 million and two thumbs up from Sean Kiernan as he prepares to drive this Mustang Bullitt for the last time.
Just keep on.
What a moment in Mecum history. The crowd up here, Scott, standing right next to us.
You know, he's talking about the guy driving it away for the last time. You know, it's been in that family. I mean, do you know all the story about this? Because I don't. I figured you probably would.
Yeah, it was amazing. So realize this is back in the time when movie cars were not stars of the movie. And they didn't really know what this movie was going to do. You know, it was a niche. It was very far removed from what was expected to be a popular movie. But it turned out to be awesome. But this was just a Mustang. It wasn't, you know, something fabulous. Well, nowadays, looking back in history, we know that that movie has one of the best 10-minute car chases ever filmed.
Yeah.
We know what the Mustang did. But did you know his father bought that car off of the movie set at the end of the movie because they just needed to get rid of it? And I think he paid $3,500 for it.
I know that. It was the same price that it sold for when it was new. He bought it for the same price.
And it had a beat-up quarter panel, had, you know, zits and boogers, as they say, all the dings that they get on the movie set and everything. So he bought it at that.
And he drove it, right?
He drove it. His father took it home, used it for a little while. The son that you see driving it away in the auction was born. They owned that, and his mother drove it as her daily car, all the way up until the point she's taking the son to kindergarten in the Steve McQueen Bullitt Mustang.
That is crazy.
They eventually, you know, get something else, decide it's not a great car. It was loud. It was obnoxious, road rough. They put it up on blocks because dad was going to, you know, get to it someday. Round to it. There you go.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. It stayed there. One of the other Mustangs turned up in Mexico. That was the one you probably heard back around 14. It wasn't used as prominently as this one, but all those kind of things came up. Well, John, I got to ask you, I know you are Mr. Number Cruncher. What was your guess before we knew what this car would sell for?
You know, I don't follow those big-time auction cars. I follow lots of auction cars, but I don't follow that. And if somebody just had me to guess, I would have said $10 million. And I was surprised that it only went for $3.4
million. Yeah, I was guessing $7 million, and that was based on two prior cars related to Steve McQueen. One of them was the Porsche 930. It was his own personal car. That sold for just under $2 million a few years ago. The other was the 917 from the movie Le Mans. And that went for $14 million a couple of years ago.
Huh.
I just felt like...
It's surprising, isn't it?
You know, that $14 million car, for one, it's a Porsche 917. If you're a Porsche fanatic, you want one. Typically, the pockets of Porsche owners are a little deeper than the Mustang owner, so I was taking that into consideration, that kind of thing. And obviously, Steve McQueen's name attached to anything is going to substantially change matters. But I was wrong. I guess $7 million. It went for... $3.4 million with $300,000 worth of auction fees.
Well, I dropped out at $3 million. I decided I wasn't going to spend any more than that.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and go to break because in 2 weeks, the Daytona 24 hours, and we've got Felipe Nasr, who's going to be driving in that, coming up next. You're listening to Speed City. We're live in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Roger Hayden, Factory Yoshimura Suzuki. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're live here in Austin, Texas, not far from Circuit of the Americas. But in 2 weeks, the Rolex 24 Hours at Daytona is really going to kick off the 2020. It's hard to say that, isn't it? 2020. The 2020 race season. And our first guest of the night is going to be racing in that. We want to welcome Felipe Nasr to the show. Felipe, welcome to Speed City.
Hey, guys, thank you very much. So nice to be here with you, everybody from Speed City. It's just a pleasure to be here today, so thank you very much.
Ah, well, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. You know, we've been missing you here in Austin, Texas, buddy.
Yeah, I've done a couple of Formula One races there, and I love Austin. I love Texas. And I have to say, I wish the IMSA Championship, I wish they could go back there, because I know they did a couple of years in COTA. Am I right?
Oh yeah. That was a fantastic event. You know, it was the Lone Star Le Mans, and it was IMSA in the afternoon and then WEC going into the night. And man, it was a fantastic event. You know, we got WEC coming back this year, but yeah, I don't know, you know, that's just a one-off. I don't know what the future is, but yes, we need to get IMSA back here. Absolutely.
Well, I really wish we could go back. You know, I can't imagine driving those, you know, Cadillac DPIs around the circuit. It's just going to be stunning. You know, those, especially the first part of the track, is just stunning to drive. It really is.
Well, we were just talking about that. By the way, one of our guests tonight, we've already interviewed him, and we did a pre-record, is a gentleman you might know of, is Mike Conway.
Mike.
Yeah.
Mike was on, Mike was with you guys earlier.
Yeah, cool. In fact, we're going to play that later in the show, but we interviewed him yesterday. We didn't even realize that you guys were going to be teammates. And
yeah, that's great. Did Mike said anything about me or no? Because no. We better know it right now.
No, we kind of sprung it on him right. We were signing off with him. But yeah, well, we were talking about what he said about Coda, and what almost every driver and rider has said about Coda is that those first few laps, if you get them right, your lap is great. If you get them wrong, you've messed up your whole lap.
For sure. For sure. It's like, if you don't get the flow straight away, it's one of the tracks that it's going to bite your back. And, it's all about, it's a lot of speed in those turns, you know, and they can confuse you, you know, like where to place the car properly because it goes like one after the other. So if you don't get the first one right, especially through the S's into the first sector, it's like super key, you know, to be on the exact line that you can get one corner after the other. So it's super technical.
Well, Felipe,
but I love it.
Yeah.
You know, you just described Coda excellently. I have not been to the Daytona raced and seen the 24. Describe the difference in from the driver's seat, what you're dealing with the track and the transitions.
Yeah, do you mean Daytona? Especially you want to talk about Daytona track, the circuit itself?
Yes.
So Daytona, I see it as a very, it's kind of an easy track to learn, but to master it, to get those extra 2-3 tenths, it takes a little bit of knowledge and experience on the track. For sure, if you throw a driver straight away in Daytona, he's going to be up to speed within a few laps. But what really makes the difference is to, if you take, for example, the like coming into turn one, as you're going from the main start-finish straight, and as you're pointing towards turn one, you come in at, you know, over 190 miles there. So every little movement you do in the car and how you place the car into that braking zone, it's super special. Like if you can manage it the way you can get the car stopped and pointing towards that turn one, finding that, you know, the grip area, because it's kind of a off camber corner turn one. There's a lot of little tricks around the track, but I would say turn one is one of them, and the bus stop as well, if you can get a nice flow through it. But it takes time and confidence. Again, it's easy to be on the lap time, but to get those extra 2-3 tenths, Daytona is a pretty special place to do it. A lot of hard braking zones into the infield. But it's a special place. I remember my first ever Daytona back in 2012, if I'm not wrong, I'm getting old. I was like 18 years old when I got the Sunoco Challenge prize for winning the British F3 at the time. And I came into Daytona. I said, wow, man, this place is special, you know. And I only got the full impression of Daytona 24 when I got into the race. It's just something else. It's for me, I have to say, it's one of my favorite races of the calendar. And it's I'm yet to win. We're working hard on that 31-wheel and Cadillac to get the win this year. And you guys heard from Mike early on. Mike is, it's a key player for sure in the team. Mike is a pro. It's the place to do it, you know. And Daytona at night is just unbelievable. It's unreal. When you get through the traffic and the speeds, you know, you see through Daytona overnight, it's like the car is doing double the speed that you're doing during the day.
Yeah.
Going through traffic is just, it's just insane. I love this race. I really do.
Well, it's such a special race as a fan. You know, we watch it. And I love the way it kicks off the season. And because what I'll do is I'll start watching it during the day. And then if I have to do things, I'll have it on, on my phone and connected in the car and listening. And then at night is when I really get to watch it, because I'll get all set up and watch as much as I can, fall asleep to it, wake up to it. But from a driver's standpoint, I mean, this has got to be one of those on a checklist of like the 24 Hours of Le Mans, and it's got to be one of those special races from that standpoint too. It's one of those ones that
you know
to build your resume and just that, you know, special to drivers, right?
For sure. I mean, when I mentioned back my first time in Daytona, because I was then chasing the Formula One dream back then. So when I did Daytona, it was a one-off event for me, but it came back at my mind that I said, man, I want to do that race again. It's just, I want to do it. You know, it's something else. I love the way the race went. You know, I got a third place for my first ever Daytona that I tried when I was driving for Michael Schenck Racing. And I went to chase my Formula One dreams, went through GP2 and Formula 3 and, you know, then got into Formula One. But it was always a race that I had in the back of my mind. I've got to go back. So in 2017, I made my mind and I called the guys from Action Express Race and said, hey, guys, you guys still have a seat available for that Daytona 24. Not only they invited me to go back racing in 2018, but I was then confirmed a full-time driver and went to win my first championship for them as well. So it's a really awesome story. But again, it's one that is missing on the list. As I told you guys, we've been knocking on the door, being so close last year, finished second. We led most of the race in the rain. And also in 2018, our teammates won it. We had a little issue in the race, which took us off track a little bit. But again, we come in full force this year, having a very strong lineup, if not the strongest lineup, I would say, in the 24 Hours of Daytona. We got Mike Conway, as you guys mentioned. We got Pipo Derani,
yeah.
Another Brazilian guy that is super experienced as well, and Felipe Albuquerque in the car. So we got four drivers that are really hungry for that victory and bring that for Cadillac.
You know, when Cadillac got in, when the DPI class came out and Cadillac came out and just, you know, just killed it in what, 20, was it 2017, I guess, maybe the first year? But
It was.
Yeah, and, you know, they originally had the 6.2 naturally aspirated when everybody else was running different, you know, turbos and whatever.
Exactly.
But Cadillac has been pretty dominant overall. Talk about that car, man. It looks awesome, too.
Yeah, the DPI Cadillac, I would say the strongest areas of the car itself is the traction, for sure. Traction is one of the strongest keys, especially down to the engine configuration itself, being a V8 aspirated engine, pulling almost 600 horsepower on that car. We just have a phenomenal torque. And when it comes to tracks, that we have a lot of traction zones, long breakings with, you know, you have to stop the car and go. The Cadillac is just a killer in this type of track. And I would say the balance, you know, in tracks that we can really rely as well on the durability of the tires as well. When we have to do like a long stint over 20, 25 laps, the car is just so good. I mean, I'll be lying to say, the opposite, but it's just very good to drive. And when I got my hands on it first time in 17, when I tested for Action Express, I said, wow, I mean, this is like driving a single seater, you know. They're not, yeah. You know, those prototypes, they just evolved so much that you basically drive like a single seater. You know, the amount of power they have, the downforce levels they are, it's just stunning. And once Michelin took over as well, they are the official supplier of our tires during the IMSA championship. We probably picked up another 2-3 seconds in pace, and you're like, wow, when you drive those things, it's just stunning. So it's awesome to drive the Cadillac DPI. And better when we get it to victory lane.
So yeah.
That's how we're going to do it.
Well, you've had a pretty amazing career. We talked about your career at the top of the show and that 2015 season in Formula One with 27 points. And like, I guess it was like six races in the points. I mean, you've had an amazing career. And the fact that you can talk about this Cadillac after having driven all those cars, it must be a pretty special car. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty special. And thanks for mentioning it. Yeah, I've been all the different series I've been to, from the very junior series, won the Formula BMW Championship, the European Championship. And after that, I won the British F3 Championship, went to chase victories in GP2, which is now called the Formula 2, and went to do an amazing season in Formula 1 as well in 2015, being the best ever Brazilian to get a fifth place in my first ever race. That was, it was something special. And but I have to say, since I joined the IMSA Championship, I've never seen proper racing like that anywhere else. It's just, you could be leading the race at one point, and then suddenly you have a problem in your pit stop, and then you're back at the, you know, at the back of the field.
Yeah.
And maybe 3 hours later, you could be leading the race again. And it's just like, wow. So you're always on that. On that situation, you're chasing something. You're never too comfortable. Oh, maybe I don't have the best car today, but suddenly the race turns into you, and you see you in a position that, wow, I can win this thing. And it happened to us many times.
Yeah.
And I see that for everybody, you know, for all the competitors. It's a mix of track layouts. We go to one of the most hardcore places, racetracks around America. And when I got here as well, I didn't know any of the tracks apart from Daytona. I was like, man, those tracks are real, you know. They're like, you cannot put a wheel off. Something bad could happen. So I really enjoyed the IMSA Championship, and it was fantastic to get the title in 2018. 19, we came up short in second place. And again, this year, 2020, is something that I'm really looking forward to what we can achieve together with Action Express Racing, Cadillac, and the Whelen car, that we have such a strong lineup coming into Daytona. So yeah, we got pretty high hopes. But again, feet on the ground. We know, if I have to describe Daytona in one word, is to be patient.
Yeah.
That race can go around and bite you really quick, so you got to be patient.
Yeah, you can have one of those seasons, a whole season in one race like that. Well, Felipe Nasr, we are so excited that you came and joined us on the show. And
thank you guys.
Yeah, and we'll tell everybody to watch for you the number 31 car at Daytona in a couple weeks, and we'll be rooting for you, buddy. And we appreciate you coming on the show.
Please do, guys. Thank you so much, and let's root for that 31 Whelen Cadillac. And not too long ago, so not far now, about 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so,
2 weeks.
There you go. Get some rest.
Yeah. All thanks, guys.
Thanks
a
lot.
It's been a pleasure.
Felipe Nasr, thank you so much. We appreciate you coming on.
Take it easy. Thank you.
All right, man. Exciting to have a guy of his caliber and everything. But let's go ahead and go to break, because we got our next guest.
We
got to
go Hollywood.
We're going Hollywood. We got Willie T. Ribbs coming on to talk about his new movie. You listen to Speed City live in Austin, back after these messages.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan Taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives. Only water, malt, hops, and yeast. And absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to circlebrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company, born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
This is David Hobbs, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to the show. We are going to jump right in because we're very excited to have our next guest. He's been on the show with us before. He was with us about a year ago when he was getting this movie ready to go, but we're so excited to welcome Willie T. Ribbs to the show. Willie, welcome to the show again, buddy.
Hey. I'm glad to be back, and do you remember Homeboy Network in Living Color? David Alan Greer and Tommy Davidson. Yeah, well, we're done. We've completed the project, and I got to tell you, it's been overwhelming, the response. I'm getting texts and calls. And I'm actually sending out tissue.
Oh, look at this cap this guy's wearing. Here. He's got it. Good looking cap you got there, buddy.
Yeah. And people have called me and texted me crying.
I as soon as you said tissue, I knew what you meant because I sat down I watched the whole movie last night and absolutely tear jerking. And you know, more than one spot, particularly at the end. But more than one spot, Willie.
Well, I mean, probably the toughest spot for me was the Jim Truman part.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was hard because Jim was, his word was gold. Everything he said, he did. And he got behind me before anybody did. He was the first in line that pushed Willie T to where I am now and to the climax of the project. He was first.
You know, I thought it was really interesting. You brought in a driver I have known nothing about. Joe, I remember his first name is Joe, that was with you at the Indy 500. Give us a quick capsule who that is.
Joe.
He was the dirt track racer that came and visited you, and you pulled him into the garage.
You're talking about Joey Ray.
Yes, that's it. I can agree with the name now.
Joey Ray, I didn't know that Joey Ray was even paying attention. I knew that he was one. Joey Ray should have been the first black driver to Indy. He should have been 20 years ahead of me there. And because of the sport and the discrimination of, from sponsors in the sport, he never got a shot. And but he was one hell of a race driver and phenomenal on dirt. And believe that's where all the drivers started. AJ started on dirt. Bobby Unser started on dirt. Johnny Rutherford, the list. Mario. Mm-hmm. Well, Joey Ray was just a phenomenal race driver that never had the opportunity. And he was there. He came to my pit during the month of May, right at the beginning. And I saw him standing behind the ropes. And him and his wife, and I walked up to the ropes and I said, well, why didn't you come in? He says, well, I didn't want to get in the way. I said, don't ever stand behind the ropes again. I said, you come straight in. And he was there. He just having his presence was very motivating.
That scene in the documentary was captured hearts immediately to me.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Well, let's set this up for people who haven't seen it yet, because I know it just came out and don't know the story. Because, I mean, Willie, it's really astounding to me, because, you know, I grew up during this period and I just didn't see the kind of things that you saw. And the theme for me in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, how far could you have gone? Could you have been in Formula One? Could you have been, had there not been such incredible discrimination against African-Americans throughout your career? I mean, the stories about NASCAR and others where, I mean, death threats, and it was just amazing. But I kept coming back to that. I kept thinking, you know, as good as you were, you could have been easily a Formula One driver.
Every team that I went with, when I was with Gurney, I won races. I won Driver of the Year awards. When I was with Roush, I dominated. There's no doubt. I mean, you've got to have a team that is capable of winning and on the same level as the best team. And Mario Andretti used to have a great saying. He says, if it takes 1,000 components to win, and you've got 999, you're at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
So, and where I was in IndyCar, I was like maybe 500. So, but I had no choice. I had to take what I got. No team gave me, no big team gave me an opportunity to win an IndyCar. And I don't know, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that, but we won't get into it now. The industry was very tough on me. They weren't nice, but I didn't bow down. I didn't turn another cheek. I remained firm, because I was in the right. And when you're in the right, you don't turn another cheek.
You know that's what your grandfather used to say, right?
He was a tough guy.
And how much of you know, when your grandfather told you, one of the things you said a couple times in the movie, that you don't have to be good, you don't have to be great, you have to be better than everybody. And do you think that he was talking about because of the racial issues?
Oh, that's the only thing he was talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, he started a business in 1927 in an all-white city and became very successful. And why? Because he was the best contractor in the valley, in San Jose, right when Silicon Valley was kicking off, his business was in full swing. He made a ton of money right after World War II when the GIs came home and the building boom took off. And that's where he made his money. And he, you know, invested in real estate and commercial buildings. And, you know, it was his, you know, financial support that got me, you know, to Europe and where I needed to go to start my career. But he was not a doting grandfather. I'm going to tell you what, he kept his foot so deep in my butt that I could taste the shoe polish for breakfast. I mean, and he twisted it so it couldn't come out, right? So it was the best, you know, the kids today, these young kids today don't really know how tough the world is. Okay. These millennials, you don't know what hard work is, and you need to get out there and get your hands dirty. And he had a remedy for depression. You know, you got all these psychiatrists that, you know, want you to sit down and put a rag on your head and, you know, be gentle. That wasn't him.
Yeah.
If you were depressed, he had a shovel. And that was his medicine. Like, get out there. I got a ditch for you to dig. And I want to dig 10 inches deep by 10 inches wide, 100 feet. And when you were done digging that ditch, you weren't depressed anymore.
That is absolutely good advice, isn't it? A hard day's work, there's nothing more medicinal to depression than a hard day's work.
Oh yeah. No, and it's good for you. And it just builds character. And with him, he didn't know. He didn't want me to be a race driver. But his upbringing made it possible for me to be tough enough to deal with what I was dealing with.
Well, I want to talk about the movie some more because, I mean, we've seen some great movies in the last few years about racing. There's been some incredible movies, and we just went through the Christmas season with Ford versus Ferrari. But I'll tell you, last night I sat down to watch the movie, and I wasn't sure I was going to have time to watch the whole thing. Well, once I got started, there was no way that I wasn't going to be able to finish this movie, Willie, because it was fantastic. It was a really compelling story. I mean, yes, it's about racing, but it's just as much about the times and the racial struggles and the story of perseverance of, you know, how many times did you get kicked out of racing and were sitting on the sidelines driving the van, you know?
Well, I didn't get kicked out only one time when I had a fight with Jenner and Pruitt. And, you know, it was amazing. IMSA penalized me. And for 1 month, they kicked me out of the sport. And I've been the only driver ever for a confrontation after the race. And the drivers and entrants at that time that were in the sport, there were some that were running millions of dollars of drugs to support their racing. Those were IMSA teams.
Yeah.
Millions. Some of them have done time for it, but they were allowed to continue. So, you know, it was they wanted to remind me, IMSA did, you're black. And you're not going to be treated like us. They made it clear with their actions, but I didn't give a damn. I kept hammering away, and I still won driver of the year in 87 and 88, despite being penalized and sanctioned.
Well, and when I say kicked out, I know that was the only official time, but I think of it as, if there's no sponsors willing to step up because of racial issues, I felt like that was almost the same kind of thing, because it was those corporate, you know, saying we're not going to sponsor you, or you know, you just had a hard time getting sponsors the whole time. But I love the story about Paul Newman and Truman and those guys coming in going, wait a minute, this guy's not getting a fair shake. We're going to try to correct that.
Well, and they knew it. They knew that the corporate America was not supportive of Willie T. Ribbs. And, you know, there's millions of African Americans that make these same companies billions of dollars. But they weren't supporting me. And I was no guy that just came along and wanted to race. I was a winning race driver, and I still got no support. And Newman knew it. The people on the inside knew it. They knew what the word was. Truman did, and Paul Newman did as well.
Folks, one of the things that we haven't said in this visit is, you know, Willie was out there overseas racing against likes of Nigel Mansell and actually has beaten Nigel, even though Nigel got the championship. So, you know, it's not just, this is a guy and we're not feeling sorry for him. He's earned all the respect. He's got it. he has beat those names you know from overseas in the Formula One world back in that generation, and yet still battled this on his own continent.
Yeah, no, I didn't come out of an affirmative action program.
Yeah.
Yeah, my action was my right foot in the checkered flag. And, yeah. And you know, a lot of people ask me, well, aren't you bitter? You know, if it happened to a woman race driver, for example, if that happened, what happened to me happened to a woman race driver, it would be national news, and the sponsors would have made threats to the sanctioning bodies and the team owners, get it corrected or we're gone. If it would happen to a woman, they turn their back on me. And I'm not bitter, but I haven't forgotten.
Well, yeah. They say a grudge is a heavy thing to carry. Move on. Good man. But folks, you absolutely got to see this. It's a fantastic documentary/movie. Looking at some of the things, there's a lot of things that I remember, but I've learned so much more. As I said, I watched and lived every racing something on TV growing up.
And catching the eye of Bernie Ecclestone early days, right? I mean, when you first went over, you caught his eye, right?
In my fourth race, I had won my second race, and then I won my third race. And Bernie Ecclestone is a very smart guy, and I love him to death. He's like my uncle. He's been very good to me. And on my fourth race at Watkins Glen, him and Gordon Murray came to the track just to introduce themselves. Now, this is Bernie Ecclestone.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, people come to Bernie and he introduced himself. He says, we're watching you and keep up the good work. And then, you know, after I was winning and dominating Trans Am, him and Don King had a plan to put me in the Formula One car and testing in Portugal in December of 1985. And, you know, that there's not been very many drivers, let alone American drivers, to drive a Formula One car.
Yeah.
And when I drove it, Lewis Hamilton was just born. Just born.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was a great ride. And you know, despite the negative people in my career, there's been just as many positive people that have got behind me and they saw it and they knew what I was dealing with and they jumped and pushed and they were wins. They were wins in my sail. And this film has been, it's taken off so strong. We're on 8 airlines already.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
8 airlines.
Guess I know what I'm watching on the way to Spain again.
American, United, Air Saudi, Qatar Airlines. We're international and domestic with another 6 lining up to buy.
Well, where all can people see it? I had ordered it off Chassis Media, off their website, you know, I think almost a year ago. And I got my email.
Oh, it's out now. And it's Chassis with a Y. chassy.com. And they're getting response worldwide. Actually, people are from all over the world have ordered it. And the reason I know is I'm getting texts and messages to that effect.
Yeah, well, it really was an emotional watch for me. I mean, I you know, because I love racing and I know the context, that was just you know, icing on the cake. But anybody who you wouldn't have to love racing at all to enjoy the movie. So I highly recommend it.
It's really not. I mean, racing's sort of the platform, you know, but it's a human interest project. Racing was the platform, but the documentary is about someone that made it that shouldn't have made it, that had the testicles to fight and kick and punch his way into the top. And we did.
Yeah, that's
we
awesome.
We did. And I do it all over again. I love confrontation. I love the fight. So it was right up my street.
Well, and the movie culminates with you showing how you became the first black driver to race in the Indy 500. And I loved that. That I don't want to spoil the movie, but that one scene to, right at the very end where you've qualified and you coming back into the pit row and every single team
breaks the rules and come out.
Every single team, everybody wanted to see you in the Indy 500, and that was really emotional. That, I mean, it was really incredible. But, well, Willie, we are out of time, my
friend.
Hold
on a second.
What?
You know, we keep talking about this motorsports watch movie party thing
we
want to do someday. Here's our opportunity. Hey, Willie.
Any day.
If we get a theater, will you come join us, give us a little talk, and watch a movie?
And we'll do popcorn and beer, and we'll do a Q&A afterwards.
Oh,
And then maybe, you know, go downtown and party up after that, like the old days.
Hey, awesome. Alamo Draft House. You know, you
like
got
the old
number.
Days.
Yeah, like the old days. I don't know if I can do that still. Willie T. Ribbs, thank you so much for coming on. Fantastic to hear your story, and I hope everybody watches this movie, and we'll catch you again soon.
I'll see you when we do that gig.
There you go.
There you go. Let's do this. Alrighty. All Thanks, right. buddy.
Thanks, Willie. Thank we appreciate cheers. It. Oh, that's a fantastic story, man. You gotta watch the whole movie. So,
I just can't imagine sitting there with Willie and seeing this play out. I'm not crying. You are.
Yeah. All right, we got to run to break because when we come back, we are going to play the interview we did yesterday with Mike Conway, who's driver in the World Endurance Championship, coming here to Austin in February. You listen to Speed City. Back after these messages.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, windingroadracing.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, this is Magnus Walker. Greetings from downtown LA, and thanks for tuning in to Speed City. Keep Austin weird and get out and drive. Pedal to the metal.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, we're in Austin, and in 41 days, the World Endurance Championship, one of the greatest series in racing across the planet, is coming back to Austin.
Yeah, buddy.
They came here for several years in a row, and then they did not come in 2019 or 2018. But so they've come back, and this is a one-off. And They're going to not race into the night. They'll race probably close to dusk, but it's going to be another big deal here at COTA. I mean, 2020, think about what all we've got. So we start off with World Endurance Championship. Then we'll have IndyCar, Indy Test before that, actually. Then IndyCar racing, then MotoGP, and finish up the year with Formula One with lots of stuff in between. It's really going to be a banner year. Yeah, an SVRA. But I want to jump right into this interview we did because we got to talk to one of the best drivers in the world and one of the best drivers in the World Endurance Championship because it's Mike Conway, and he races for the Toyota Gazoo Racing Team, so a factory Toyota team in one of those amazing prototype cars with the incredible technology that's 500 horsepower of turbo V6 and 500 horsepower of electric motor. Really amazing vehicles and amazing technology.
I need one of those on the street.
Yeah. And really a great guy. So let's play this interview. We caught up with Mike yesterday, Jonathan and I did.
All right, Gearheads, we're excited to welcome back to the show driver in the World Endurance Championship, Mike Conway, driving for the Toyota Gazoo number 7 car. Mike, welcome back to Speed City.
Hey, guys. Yeah, good to be back on the show.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having you guys back in Austin, man. We miss you guys.
I know. Yeah, we miss coming to Austin as well, to be honest. It was a shame it was taken off the calendar, but then, you know, luckily with one falling out, we managed to get back, and we'll be back racing there in just a month's time now, so... Looking forward to getting back on track.
Yeah, we're 41 days from the February 23rd date here in Austin. Yeah, we got us a nice Christmas present, Mike, when we found out you guys were coming back. I did not know this was going to happen, and I was so excited to hear that WEC was coming back to Austin because it's really one of my favorite races we've ever had here at Circuit of the Americas. And you guys are going to be starting at noon and racing into the evening. I guess it'll be real close to sunset when you finish. You guys are used to racing into the night here in the 6-hour race.
Yeah, I think the last few times we've done it ends kind of at nighttime anyway. So, yeah, something we'll be used to, but it's quite a different time of year that we're doing it. Normally it's, September, October. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen in terms of weather-wise, what it's like down there in February, but... Either way, looking forward to being back on track. It's one of my favorite tracks. Sector 1 is really cool, really fast and flowing. So, one of my favorite parts on the circuit. So, but it's going to be tough. You know, I'm sure we can keep an eye on all the adjustments they've been making with, the balance of technology between the cars, and it's changing race by race, depending on where you finish the one before and things like that. So, I think it'd be quite tough for the car to settle through there. As we lead the championship by, I think, 8 points now, they're going to adjust us more than we've seen before. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough one, but, you know, it'll still be a pleasure being there in Austin.
What about the car here, specifically for Austin? You know, changes to getting it set up, and what are the challenges for you guys here, specifically for Circuit of the Americas?
Well, I mean, we typically will come there with the high downforce kit because you've got a lot of fast flowing corners. Although you do have the long back straight, you still need the grip through all the corners, especially through the tight middle section and then the fast last few corners. You know, you need the car as hooked up as possible. So, it's always fun getting the car dialed in there. And when you put a good lap together, it feels pretty rewarding. So, I look forward to getting that done, you know. So, it should be a fun weekend, hopefully.
Mike, tell us about the World Championship WEC season so far. You're leading the championship, as you say, a win at Silverstone and win last time out in Bahrain, two different places. But it looks like you, Kobayashi and Lopez have got a really nice groove as a combination going. Do you feel really settled now?
Yeah, thanks. No, it's been a good run. As you said, winning at Silverstone and Bahrain. I think Bahrain is probably the sweetest one so far because is one that we weren't expected to win, really. We weren't the quickest car out there, but we still got the job done. Had a bit of help with, there was a bit of an incident in turn one, but still, an 8-hour race is not, they're not typically one in the first corner, but that one, it seems like it definitely helped. So, it's been a good run. Everyone's been doing a mega job. My teammates, engineers, you know, the whole team. Obviously, it's always tough against car 8 crew. They're doing a fantastic job as well. So, you know, it's very close every weekend, as it's been for the last so many years, really. So, But, you know, we're doing what we can on the weekends. Whenever we get a chance, we maximize our results. So, but it's becoming more difficult with this balance of technology with the privateer cars and so on. So I think, yeah, the next few races will be harder for us. But, you know, yeah. As always,
we'll can you explain that to us a little bit? Because we last time you were in Austin, it was Toyota, Porsche. You know, there was a few more factory LMP1 cars. But in order to balance it out with you and Rebellion and so on,
All right. Well, if you want to hear the entire, we're going to put that up on our SoundCloud account, the entire interview we did with Mike Conway, because we're out of time tonight. We want to thank all of our guests. We want to thank everybody, Felipe Nasr, Willie T. Ribbs, and of course, Mike Conway, just heard. And it was really exciting talking to all these guys. And of course, we got Daytona coming up in 2 weeks. We got all the events coming up at COTA this year.
Stay tuned. We're going to make the Speed City Roadshow at the movies happen.
Yeah, we want to. That should be easy because Willie's not far. I mean, he lives, an hour away something like that?
He's close enough.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in tonight, everybody. And thanks for following us on social. If you guys watch, you know, we stream everything on video on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. Appreciate you guys tuning in that way. And check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, and follow us all week on social. We've got lots of good stuff we put out every week. And we'll talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.